face of wonder. I chase the bright elusive butterfly of love.
Yes, across his dreams with nets of wonder, chasing the bright elusive butterfly of love. Heavy breathing, all sorts of other bits and pieces. Who was that, Graham?
That was Mr. Val Doonigan.
You see, he's straight in there. You know, never seen
him. I remember him very well.
In the studio, we had blank looks from Emma, who said, "Is that Matt Monro?" "No, Emma, no." Christina, I don't know, what is it playing in from that point of view? But share with us the connection between Val Doonigan, yourself, and Michelle Monro.
Well, Michelle probably wasn't born, or maybe she was.
She was.
I suspect she wasn't born by the time I met Matt Monro, but I was the cool boy, which is, that sounds like something to do with the street trade. Mm-hmm. But in fact, a cool boy in those days at the BBC was in 1960s, late 60s, was a runner. And I used to work on a variety of dramas or entertainment shows, and one was Val Doonigan's show, and I did it for one season every Saturday as a live program. And one day Val Doonigan had Matt Monro as his special guest, which for me was an absolute treat, because Matt Monro was one of the most delightful people I think I ever met. I was too shy and nervous to kind of ask him any questions or talk to him, have any serious conversation. I was a cheeky runner, but he was a delightful person and a very pleasant man to kind of have to deal with and hurry and scurry along to get onto the stage in order to be there in time, etc. And I found him a nice professional person who was at the height of his fame, and he was a huge star, massive star, both here and in America.
In fact, by all accounts, the third biggest British export, just after James Bond and the Beatles in the 60s.
Oh, there you are. No, he was enormous, but he was so humble. He was such a humble man, considering the status he had.
Yeah, and it works through. The point being with Michelle Monro, who, of course, can be heard each week on Siren 107.3 FM, online, sirenonline.co.uk, with the Midweek Drive team, where we actually look at one of Matt Monro's classics. And as we had to sort of correct it, because she was under the impression, actually, Graham, that you were the producer of the Val Doonigan show, I said, no.
No. Yes, I'm not that old.
Exactly. That's the point being. So I think that's been arranged. So that'll be one of the ways. I also figured we could actually ask about existential psychoanalysis and a few other things, which will obviously get the audience very much interactive with the whole thing. I'm sure we'll have lots of Doctor Who kind of questions which will be coming through, not only because there are, as you'd expect, and I think Emma's nodding wisely here and realising, yes, you just can't get through a day without mentioning Doctor Who in some way, shape or form. Daniel,
I'm with you, Alex.
You can, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go through a whole day without mentioning Doctor Who.
Exactly. Star Trek, of course, would be the other mention. Daniel Blythe, of course, who wrote range of sort of books for both Sylvester McCoy's Doctor and indeed the David Tennant incarnation, and of course Dean Wilkinson, who's assured us that he will be coming along as well to catch up with you, Graham. So that's good news. Dean and myself are also going to be co-actors in a Victorian murder mystery evening on the 26th of June. Dean, because he always wants to dress up as a Victorian gentleman, and we fully
lucky.
Exactly. I said, "Is this necessary, Dean?" He said, "Yeah, it's what I like to do." So he'll be coming along with me, and hopefully we'll have again the Christina and possibly Emma joining us, because I had you down as an understudy, Emma. You know, it's a nice sort of reading bit of murder mystery
on the 26th
of June.
I'll be there.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's when I can't be there.
Because you'll be out of the country. Pathetic excuse, but never mind. We can go with that. Graham, Coronation Street. Have you started work on it? Has the pre-preparation thing come down? Is there anything you can share with us, or are you sworn to secrecy?
Gosh, here we go. I started last Monday up in Manchester. I came back last night to London. I drove back fast. I have the biggest block of anything I think I've ever done in my life. It's extraordinary what they want to do. I've got a very special story to tell. I'm talking about in Coronation Street, not me. It's a delightfully... what I've got is, for the week that this will be shown, the most, I hope, hugely amusing and funny, something, which I'm not going to tell you because I'm held to secrecy. But I will tell you that it might have something to do with steam locomotives. That's all I'm going to say. And that might give those people who watch Coronation Street, which I suspect is millions and millions and millions, certainly up in the north and certainly down here, that will give you a clue to something. And the other is that for two episodes, it's delightfully silly, wonderful, fantastic comedy that Coronation Street can do. And then another two episodes of the most serious, heavy drama I think I've done for a long time. So I'm really looking forward to that dichotomy, if you see what I mean.
Well, it's like the BAFTA Awards, isn't it? You see, you know, the faces comedy, tragedy. Emma was very excited when it was true, you know, the fact that you're BAFTA Award winning scenario. I mean, it was, I think, even more exciting than when your mother actually insisted on sitting on Elvis Presley's chair.
Yeah, she was excited.
I'd like to do that.
It was very embarrassing, I can assure you.
No, but if you're my age, you probably would really appreciate that. I think that's quite right.
It is. I mean, what an opportunity. I mean, in Alan Birkin, I had the chance of shaking hands with the man who shook hands with Albert Speer, shook hands with Adolf Hitler. And, of course, you will shortly have the opportunity, Graham, to shake hands with the girl whose mother sat on Elvis Presley's chair.
I'm looking forward to that.
Spooky, but strangely wonderful in its own way.
I appreciate it.
Actually, I've got to say, Coronation Street or EastEnders? Christina or neither? Which one?
Coronation Street.
Coronation Street. Emma?
Well, when I was younger, I really, really, really liked Coronation Street.
Yes.
But nowadays, I sort of flip between the two.
Flip between the two,
yeah,
right?
At university, it's pretty difficult to like keep on top of all the sorts with everyone controlling the TV.
I don't usually keep on top of them, but recently I've been watching them and EastEnders...
See that since Graham Harper stopped directing EastEnders, you know, evidently, you know, the time when he actually did the whole thing, people were flooding in the
yes, I might have killed it off though.
So it's an interesting sort, because of course you've done both. I mean, people traditionally say, well, yes, obviously Coronation Street slightly lighter in humour, more northern, more sort of focused. EastEnders just basically miserable. Any sort of thoughts from yourself, Graham, or is that just
I kind of disagree with. Yes, I think you're right. In general, Coronation Street is not fantasy, but it's slightly heightened. It's a more heightened version of real life. I mean, some of the things that they do are ridiculously silly and funny, and I guess they do happen, but it's slightly heightened, whereas EastEnders is very earthy EastEnders. The difference for me between the two is that there is misery in EastEnders and more delightful humour in Coronation Street, but they can get really serious. I mean, over the last couple of weeks, there's been some extraordinary abductions into the undies, you know, where they make, I forgot what it's called now, the factory nearby. It wasn't Haley and, is it Michelle? I can't remember who the girl was now, but one of the girls who works there, they were kind of, weren't they sort of abducted and tied up and threatened with death, etc.?
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty grim.
It was the man who owns its wife, Carla.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, I see, this is the secret. I don't know the Coronation Street characters as well as I know. I watch EastEnders. Coronation Street I dip into only because I have
you're
a
too
more
busy.
Of an affinity with EastEnders.
You've got a life, you know, that's the key thing. I mean, you know, the notion of a lad who's born in Scotland who actually exists in London and has that sort of scenario, you know, clearly it's something to show. Oh, I think I shocked somebody the other day when I actually said, no, technically you were Scottish actually being born in Scotland. I'm sure
it's
I was talking.
True.
Yes, yeah, it's interesting. I think it caused a great, great concern about that. Might have been Dean Wilkinson, maybe not. Anyway. Let's just sort of summarise this. Where are we now? Yes, Saturday, 24th of July, Graham Harper, Michelle Munro, Reference Library in Middlesbrough. Tickets, of course, as I say, a snip at a simple £3.
I'm really honoured. I really am. I think that's absolutely brilliant, and that it shouldn't be out of people's reaches financially. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, there we are. You see, it's accessible. I hope you'll be bringing up a few copies of Calling the Shots, Graham.
I will.
Because clearly, you know, that's essential, only to shift the numbers on that routine.
But I'm thrilled to come and sit, and I'm looking forward to meeting Michelle. I think that's a really, really, nice coup.
Well, you know, you can always listen every Wednesday. We've signed her up for this particular year, and the Michelle Munro or the mattmonroe.com online aficionados apparently appreciate the whole thing quite well. I know this because on the 1 week that we weren't able to broadcast online, so people couldn't actually access their computers, or they could access the computers and press the button to go to Siren Online, we weren't actually transmitting live then, she had about 15 people who actually sort of wrote in and said, what's happened? Where's it gone? She's always quite nice. Mm-hmm. Although not necessarily advisable to actually say go off air just to actually test whether there's an audience out there. Yes.
I agree.
Because, you know, that's the sort of thing. I mean, you just might not want to know the answer. That's a crucial thing. In 7 days, we'll be opening the Middlesbrough Literary Festival with Tallulah Rendell, Daniel Pettit, Richard Millward, Kadeem Hossain, Andy Broderick, and heaps of others who will be around there. So that's going to be a cracking sort of time to actually launch 19th of June, which is the day after, of course, England play Algeria. Friday. So we could be sort of celebrating in a crazy, wild way, or just thinking. Exactly, much like that sort of advert that apparently Nestle are getting in trouble with, because I think those Mars people who actually paid for the privilege of actually being England branded, there's a bit of anger there, a bit of angst. You know, they're not sure whether, oi, you know, it's not, yeah, you know, exactly. You know,
I'll tell you what will make me angry is those I don't know what they're called, those strange trumpety things. The noise must be outrageous.
Graham, you speak.
Able to drive me around.
You speak of the vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzelas, yeah.
You know, and in the African sense of the vuvuzela that we need, we will
very
be finding.
Much like coming to here.
They will be coming around to the next stadium, United Emirates, shortly. Yes. There we are, you heard it first. I'm sure they'll be working their way around. You know, I'm tempted to say back in the day, one remembers the football rattle. Clearly, neither Christina nor Emma know about what I'm speaking.
Is it one of those things?
One of those things that goes... Exactly, etc. We've had, of course, the English... In fact, I was just thinking, we did say we'd actually dig out some English music to sort of build us up patriotically for the whole thing. I mean, I appreciate that, you know, there is a notion that... Anita Aslin, our harpist, could do something along these sort of lines. But I'm sure we can actually dig something out. So, Graham, in fact, you know, as somebody who was born in Scotland but is obviously based in England and would like to sort of come up with us, what sort of thing do you think we should actually sort of go with? I mean, should we go with the national anthem? Should we go with...
Well, we shouldn't go with Bring It Home, that's for sure. I've got a feeling that we actually will end up in the final. I don't know whether we'll win, but I've got a feeling we will, because we do have a fantastic team. Whether they'll play, because they do have, they're not... I'm getting there, I promise you. I don't think that we should play the national anthem, or Land of Hope and Glory. I think it should be much more rock and rolly and happy. And not about bringing the football, the trophy home, but just spreading the spirit of a fantastic game that's actually enjoyed by many. And just the fact that if we win or lose, it's fun to go and watch.
So Rule Britannia, we're on the ball. Do you think that, or would you actually...
Rule Britannia, oh, get off. That's probably because I'm Scottish. I do like... I'm not a Scotsman that doesn't like England. I find this... The Welsh and the Scots and the Irish... Well, I don't know, the Irish saying, oh, we won't... We wouldn't support England. You know, well, good luck. You haven't got anything else, so fine, you won't be supporting anything. I mean, I just find it ridiculous how stupid and nationalistic we all are.
I think I might have found the answer, actually. Something which I did suggest we really should be seeking to actually play to Pops, the Scottish Parliament, etc. And it's a little number by Thomas Spencer Wortley. Now, you may well ask, who the heck is Thomas Spencer Wortley? He's actually worked with Catherine Jenkins. He's become a relatively recent Southside recruit. In fact, Emma, were you there when we had various sort of train interviews with Thomas, and he was on a Fly Me to the Moon special? Which is, no, perhaps
no,
not. Anyway, he's also the official tenor for Derby County Football Club, but he got together with all 92 clubs in the British Isles, or rather in England at least. He had to exclude Cardiff and Swansea for obvious reasons, they're not in England, and actually developed this song, which he's put together one of the sole plethora of songs, but I actually quite like it, and it's called We're England Underneath. As I said, you appreciate my irony in a sort of taking this to Scotland and the Scottish Parliament and actually playing this to them. But how do you feel about going for this one, Graham?
I'm listening.
All right, then. Here it comes. It's a nice start. We might actually ask for some comments at the end of the whole thing, in maybe part three of the Graham Harper piece. But you feel free to sing along. Peter Shilton did, and is featured in the YouTube video.
shouting out as one. Whatever club you want, don't matter, cause we are one. Standing with arms in air, you'll hear us everywhere. This is what this is.
What do you think, Graham? Did you manage to catch most of that?
I heard all of it. I absolutely loved it, and I think that's exactly the sentiment I feel should be said. That's brilliant. It's for all of us. It's not just England we're going to bring it home. It's for the whole of the world to enjoy being there and doing it. I think it's brilliant.
Exactly. We thought it was important, and I'm sure Thomas Spencer Wortley will be joining us again very, very shortly to provide us with his own views on how the whole World Cup thing is going. We'll say, I think actually of the plethora of singles that were released, even though we know James Corden and Dizzy Rascal have done their stuff, etc. I mean, Emma, what did you think of We're England Underneath?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it's a nice routine for that.
Great voice, isn't it? It was really good.
Well, as I say, I think we'll be hearing more of young Thomas Spencer Wortley, a classically trained singer who's done a variety of other things. I think he managed to get his finger on the pulse there. And meanwhile, whilst we were doing that, Graham, you'll be pleased to know that going up on our Facebook page as well, we took a photograph of both Christina and Emma with the flag of St. George. And very little else, actually. No, it's just the flag of St. George, honestly.
I'll be watching.
Here we are, exactly. Emma, last two questions for Graham Harper, please.
So, Graham, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
I have. A very, very good one, yeah.
Good. And may we ask to have you back again in the near future?
I love the politeness there. May we please pass?
Hedging.
It's always uncertain, because you never know, he could throw a wobbly. I mean, after 25 years of doing these shows, he might think, no more. You know, it's the whole thing. So what's the answer, Graham?
Oh, all right, then. Yes, I would. I enjoy it very much.
Graham Harper. Oh, who knows? You might actually be able to, if we can work it and negotiate dozens of times around, you might well be back live in the studio again, in the Northeastern studio, when you're actually up here with the event. So
I think that would be... I'd really enjoy that, Alexis. So let's do that.
I think we'll do it. Because, I mean, we have... Graham is sort of on that open-ended contract by which any time he can actually do a full show, he's always sort of geared up for that. Very few people are, actually. But, you know, after a quarter of a century, I felt it was worthwhile getting that reward out from that whole thing.
Do you remember the first time we met? We did a kind of... Alexis invited me to to do a sort of Desert Island Disc program over two hours, eight records or whatever. And I think we kind of made everybody go to sleep, didn't we? I don't know.
Well, you know, I felt it was nice to have a kind of alternative to Mogadon. You know, I thought
it was
nice.
Again, though, did you?
It was a nice developed stage for that point of view, and I'm sure Debbie Saywood, who of course has now become Debbie Fiddler, strange name, but there we are. Totally enjoyed the whole thing. I'm sorry. It's all right. She divorced him, so it's okay. These things are there. They're out in the podcast. It's all there now. Cope with the bits and pieces. Graham Harper, we salute you.
Thank you ever so much, and I'm a real pleasure. Talk to you soon.